Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Western New York High School Sports Weekly. We have moved location from my house in the town of Tonawanda to the village of Kenmore. Here in studio, we have two amazing guests, Dennis Sorrow, a Connolly Cup voter, head of the committee, and we have Dave DeLuca from the Buffalo News. You can find Dennis on Twitter at BigDaddyKW, and you can find Dave DeLuca on Twitter at By Dave DeLuca. We have Dennis here, a very important member of the Western New York High School football community. Dennis, what do you do?
Well, I'm the chairman of the Connolly Cup for the past couple of years. We have a pretty large committee of about 25 people. We end up picking up the best player of the year, and we have a banquet at the end of the year. And this year it's December 5th. It's always the first Saturday of December, which we narrowed. We start with, we get up to about 30, 40, 50 players that we look at every player throughout Western New York. As of now, we've seen out of 74 schools, like we've seen 60 schools. You know, we try to see every kid we can. And our committee of 25 that's out there, with email, it's really great because after every game, every member will send an email to me, which I forward to everybody in the committee and what they saw at the game. We actually have a couple members that have gone, and one will be at one end of the field, one will be at the other end, and they can see different things, and there will be different opinions. Everybody has a different opinion at times, and we send them out every 3 weeks. We have a meeting where all 25 guys get together, and we talk in great depth about the players that we've seen that so far and who we need to see. The first 5 or 6 weeks, we really get out there and see as many games as we can. Then when the playoffs start, you have to really start narrowing it down because by the stadium after 10 games, which is, we don't go past 10 games. It's not fair to the teams that don't get the chance to play those extra games. We want to make it a fair thing for all players, and it's the way we've always stuck with it. So we don't go to the 11th, 12th, or 13th game. We stop it at 10 to make it fair for all the players involved. And then we, as a committee, we get together, and then we have to narrow. If we're at, sometimes we're at 25, sometimes we're at 30. We got to get that down to 10. We'll talk about these players in great depth. It's not always about their stats. Believe me, we had years where running backs hit over 2,000 yards, and they don't even make it. Each week, as we go out and see these players, we do a top performers, which you see in the paper. It's anywhere from 10 to 15 guys. We don't want to over get it deep. People misunderstand us that the top performer has nothing to do with the finalist. That's just someone that had a good game that week that we were at. If we're not at a game, the only one that can nominate a top performer is the person that's at the game, the committee member. Now, there's media out there that we deal with that will call and say, you know, we got Dick Gallagher, even like Dave and some of the guys from GM, they'll call and say, hey, we saw this guy. You need to get out there and see him, which we will. And that's part of the thing because we can't be everywhere every time. But we will get to see anybody that they want to see. And then we get down, we have to nail, we get together, we have to get down to 10. And sometimes those, it gets to be heated because you're fighting for the guy that you really believe should be a top 10. And we have a vote, and sometimes we have to re-vote. If there's a tie, you know, the chairman, which is me right now, gets a choice to break that tie. Then when we get to the top 10, everybody's sent a ballot with the 10 guys that are left. Now, in order to vote for them, you have to have seen those 10 guys before the stadium. It's not fair to vote for someone that you haven't seen. And most of the guys have seen it with the internet and with huddle and that. We work it out that you get to see these guys before the stadium. Even because some out of them don't even make the stadium. And that's one of the key things that we want to see before the stadium starts. Because if you get knocked off in the playoffs, you're pretty much done. Even though you could get a bowl game or something like that, some coaches don't even play some of the players. They want to bring up younger players and see what they got for next year. That's a coach's choice. But we want to see these players. Then we, like I said, we vote. I sent out a ballot, and you vote for the top five guys. Your number one guy will get 10 points, 7, 5, 3, and 1. And then after everybody's ballots in, we total up the points, and the one with the most points is your winner. If there's a tie with the votes, which we, there's been years it's been really close, the chairman finally gets to vote on all the work he's done, and they break the tie. We never, ever will have a Conley Cup winner. It's one. And the only one, there's two people that know the winner, the chairman and the person that makes the trophy.
All right. Dave, you've been around at this high school season, football season, a lot of great players out there. What have you overall taken from the season so far as we start the playoffs?
Well, I think a lot of the top names this season, some of them we've seen before, but a lot of them are kind of having their come-out party, you know, so to say. I think Matt Myers from Tyman is a perfect example. A lot of people didn't know about him coming into the season, played at West last year, now he's starring at Tyman, putting up great numbers and leading one of the best large school teams in Western New York. Then you have your Jerry Hicksons, your Dylan Jenkins of the world, the Terrell Fords that have, you know, kind of propelled up from last season into this season. They're even playing better than last year. So players-wise, I think we have a, you know, I would definitely say there's a top 25, top 30 out there. But once it gets down, you know, to a top 10, it should be interesting to see who comes away with it this year. Because right now, there's probably not a clear-cut favorite, in my opinion. I don't have a vote or anything like that, but I haven't seen the one guy where I'm saying, this guy's your Conley Cup guy. This guy's definitely going to win it. Which doesn't usually happen. Usually, every single year, it's pretty tight at the top.
All right. Before we continue on the rest of our show, we'll let you know, besides having Dennis and Dave here, we will have interviews with Colin. We will have Dylan Janka from Orchard Park. We will have, it looks like we'll have a player from Ken West, D'Angelo Walker-Johnson, the quarterback. We also have Zach Zambrowski from Lancaster, who's the running back there. And towards the end of the show, we'll have Rolf Friedenberg, the Kenmore East head boys soccer head coach. They continue on the playoffs. And then we'll have, from the 300 level bloggers, Pat Beltry and Evan Manicollin. And we'll get Joe Krause, the professor from NT. So we have a big show today. So right now, we're going to get started on the playoffs Friday night. We'll do Class A. Our first game is Lockport, who's 3-4, heads to Lancaster. We'll have Zach on later. Is this clear-cut Lancaster win, or does Lockport have a chance?
Yeah, I think that Lancaster is going to, you know, pretty much have control of that game. They've played well throughout the entire year, and I wouldn't see them stalling in the playoffs because they're clicking on all cylinders. And their offense is one of the tops in Western New York, the only team that could really slow them down, you know, with a team from Ohio and Orchard Park. So I think they're going to roll on that one.
I agree 100%. You know, they got a great quarterback in Dan Spire also. I mean, they got a couple nice receivers out there, too. I see the one beating Lancaster right now is Lancaster in the next game.
All right. The next game is Clarence, who's 4-3 this year. They head to Orchard Park, the last AA South Division winner. They beat Jamestown last week, led by Dylan Janko, who we'll have on later. Is there any way Clarence can pull this out?
I really don't think so. But, I mean, Orchard Park hasn't really had to lean heavily on running the ball. The only way that Clarence kind of could make it a game, possibly, because their offense is kind of, you know, built for bad weather. They run the ball, you know, with a kind of a double wing. So they have a shot if, you know, it's pouring and terrible weather. They might be able to hold Orchard Park a little bit. Orchard Park is the best team outside of Canisius in Western New York. So I don't think a little bit of rain or wind is going to slow them down.
Yeah, Orchard Park's just Orchard Park. You know, they just reload year in and year out. And it's another case of Orchard Park being Orchard Park.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to head down to Class A for their only game of the evening. North Tonawanda at 5-2 on the season will head to West Seneca East. Right now, John Dolak III looks like, and that whole offense, it's not just him, it's Austin Bryanstein, the quarterback. They look like they can order for anybody, but NT isn't a team to be, you know, take easy.
I agree with you 100%. NT's clicking on all cylinders right now. You know, Zach Woodard's not a slouch, and they got that Corey Sikora.
Cody Sikora.
Cody Sikora,
yeah. I mean, they surprised somebody. I, that could be an upset of the weekend.
Yeah, I think that game is probably the one. You know, there's a couple other games, but when it comes to, you know, it's going to be close. I think North Tonawanda, West Tonawanda East, is going to be a close one. If North Tonawanda plays the way they're capable, they've kind of they had a bad game against Star Point where they kind of got blown out there, which, you know, that was a good game. We looked at both of those teams. North Tonawanda had one loss. Star Point was undefeated. So I thought North Tonawanda keep that one closer, but I'd see that's a nice win over Williamsville South. West Side of East, John Dolak, he's one of the top players in Western New York. I'd say top five with what he does offensively and defensively. If you've ever seen the movie Friday Night Lights, he kind of reminds me of Billingsley. You know, he's kind of built like him, same quiet attitude, but, you know, hard-nosed kid. So I think West Side of East is probably going to win that one, but North Carolina could definitely give him a game.
Class B, we'll move down. This is the 7-2 game. Easter or Holland heads to Alden for Matt first round there. The Blue Devils have had an on and off year, but Alden's been the team to beat so far in Class B.
Oh, it's just tough this year. I mean, they were down last year. They didn't have the line they used to. And Bio Grant's just, I think he put on a show this year. I mean, he was a little beat up last year, like you said, without the line, but you can't stop that guy. I mean, he is unstoppable. I can't see it'd be a major upset to see Easter or beat all of them.
And with Dennis being here from the Conley Cup, I remember a couple of years ago when Lyle was a finalist in the sophomore, and that was a senior-laden team, and he was a finalist being a sophomore, one of the best players on that team as a sophomore. So now you're seeing him senior year even better and even better than he was that year.
All right, our next game is going to be Dunkirk at Burger. This game will be at Riverside Field, not at All High, as Burgard usually plays. Bulldogs got off to a slow start, but it seemed to pick it up. Do you think that they have they're the favorite here?
I mean, the only thing that jumps out to me about that game is where they're playing. I mean, I would love to see Dunkirk and Burgard at All High, but Allegheny Limestone is going to play, you know, the favorite to win the Class C title in Bennett at All High. So I'm not really sure why that game is the highlight of the game at All High Stadium. But other than, you know, playing the game of football in four quarters, I think Dunkirk and Burgard is going to be a good one. I had a chance to see Dunkirk in Springville, and Springville won that game, almost shut them out, but a kick return kind of ruined the shutout there. But I think that's been a really good game. Both teams are pretty even. They do the same type of things, run the ball. Burgard has some experience, a couple of players from last year's team that went to the semis. So that should be a pretty even game.
Yeah, I think so, too. Dunkirk's got a nice running back in there, Miguel Alicia.
Yeah.
I mean, he was good last year, but he's getting better even this year. That could be a toss-up right there.
And it's scary because he put up big numbers last year. I think he ran for like 1,200 yards. And he's kind of, stat-wise, he's not as good as he was last year, but he was kind of banged up throughout the year. They have a couple more weapons this year that have definitely taken some carries away from him. But, yeah, he's one of the top running backs in Western New York, especially in the small schools.
Next team is Loupeport, Cheektowaga. Loupeport, obviously coming off a horrible year last year where the players did not get along with the coaching staff at all. They come back this year able to get into the Class B playoffs at the 8th spot, but they have Cheektowaga, who even after losing Zach Chesick from last year, is still on a roll.
And I've heard people say that the Cheektowaga team is better than last year's Cheektowaga team. I wouldn't go there whatsoever. Have they really beaten on some really, you know, not so good program? Yeah. But this is still a really talented team. But I wouldn't look too much at their point differentials in most of their games and to say that this team's better than last year's team. Because that team last year had everything you'd want. They had a quarterback, a senior leader, they had a running game, one of the best in Western New York. Physical defensively, physical offensive line. I think physically this year, they're not, you know, not as physical. I think Maryvale kept that game close because of how physical Maryvale is. And Loupeport, when they played Cheektowaga in the first game, Loupeport's starting quarterback, who's one of the better, you know, quarterbacks in the small schools this year, didn't play in that one. So he's playing on Friday night, so hopefully maybe he can give Loupeport a spark. But I think Cheektowaga is just too good not to win that game.
Yeah, they're gonna have to stop that Billingsley, because he's a beast. That'd be a key to the game, stopping him.
And Stephon Parker, wide receiver for Cheektowaga, probably one of the best in Western New York. He's the one who had that an awesome touchdown catch against Bennett in the, at the Ralph last year, so he's back, and I think he has a bunch of touchdowns this year.
All right, we're going to take a break from our recaps, and we're going to bring in the quarterback of Kenmore West, the Class AA North Division champions, D'Angelo Walker-Johnson. D'Angelo, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Obviously, last week you have to talk about the rivalry game. You guys seemed to handle East pretty good. Obviously, different from last year where you didn't take them quite as seriously and East was able to pull off the upset. How is this? How was the mindset going into that game last week, different from last year?
Last year, we were very lackadaisical all week in practice, and we weren't really focusing at the top of our game because we thought we were just going to walk all over them. This year, we're seniors now. We still feel that loss. That loss motivated us all season and kept us focused. And we knew this week, that whole week, that we had to come focus every day at practice. No matter, like, imagine that we're playing at Orchard Park or something like that. We can't take them lightly, no matter what their record says, no matter what the film says. Anyone can lose any day. So that was our whole incentive of the week.
All right. This week you have Hutch Tech. You won the first seed. You got the home game against the lowest seed in the South, Hutch Tech. What has coach shown you about this Hutch Tech team?
Hutch Tech, they're a very athletic team. They got athletes all across the field. They're not a team to sleep on. They could play with anyone at any day. Once again, you can go down, and no matter what your record says, anyone can lose any day. And coach just kept us focused and kept reminding us that it's time to win. If you win or go home now. So that's just been our whole thing all week, is we got to win.
Hey, Dave from the Buffalo News here. Just wanted to ask you, this Kenmore West team has knocked on the door for so many years now. So many times you guys have lost in the semis. What's different about this team that can, you know, potentially get you guys over the hump and get you guys to the route?
Honestly, I think it's the leadership. We got leaders everywhere you look. We got leaders. We got 20 seniors on the team. Everyone's a leader. The juniors step up and, like, get on everybody. We hold everyone accountable. We make sure when someone messes up, we don't get on them. We get on them, let them know that they messed up, but we don't bash on them, make them feel bad. We know, get back, get at it the next play. And I think the leadership, and we're a team. We're a family for real this year. Like, everyone loves each other. We love being around each other. We could spend all day together, and we just have a ball together.
You know, last year you almost made it there in the last few seconds of that Orchard Parking. You really want to get back there that bad and make up for that?
Yes, yes. That was one thing that stuck with me all season, was that feeling of me and my teammates had, that we're going to the Ralph. We finally made it. We broke, like, we haven't made it to the Ralph in years, and we finally felt like we were making it there, and it got took away from us in the last 2 minutes and 14 seconds of a game. And that's honestly one of the worst feelings I've ever had playing a sport.
The week one game against Orchard Park, you guys came out pretty flat, and the ending was not certainly what you're looking for. Do you think this Kenmore West team today is different than the one that faced Orchard Park in week one?
Yes, completely, 100%. We're a totally different team. We got an identity now. And I think just week one, we weren't ready mentally to the point that we are now. Compared to now, we're a completely different team mentally and physically. Everyone's stronger. We know our roles. We know what we need to do to win. And we got the formula now to win. And I'm excited to see what the rest of the season holds for us.
All right, D'Angelo, we appreciate you having you on, and we wish you luck in your game on Saturday.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on, and hope to be on again.
All right. That was D'Angelo Walker-Johnson, the quarterback for Kenmore West football. They're doing great this season. His running back, Terrell Ford, just broke the school record for touchdowns in a game, scoring 6 against Kenmore East. That was a big day for Ford. So they're having a great season. Right now, before we get back to our recap, we're going to take a shout-out to our sponsors. Daniel Beck, attorney at law. His office is at 3290 Genesee Street in Cheektowaga. You can call him to make an appointment for any real estate needs or any will needs. at 716-253-6500. We also have All In Sports, which is at 485 Cayuga Drive in Cheektowaga. You can call 716-868-7555. You can get Jim Pernick, who is the head baseball instructor, and our final sponsor of the evening, the Paul Wolf Agency, 2686 Elmwood Avenue, right in the corner of West Gerard in the Village of Kenmore. You can call them at 716-835-WOLF. I'm also going to give a quick shout-out to an event going on Sunday after the Bills game from 1 to 3. There's going to be a race for Roswell run by some Kenmore East students. It's going to be 1 to 3 at Sparky Adams Field, the Kenmore East football field. It's $5, and it's a race walk, and the proceeds go to Roswell Park. Continuing on in our recap here, Depew heads to Springville. Springville, first-year head coach Eric Yancey, who came from NT, won a few years ago there. He's come back to his hometown, and he's lifted the Griffins right out of the bottom.
Can't call him a first-year head coach.
First-year at Springville as the head coach. He was the assistant. He was the offensive coordinator last year. Became the head coach this season, and the head coach from last year is still on staff. I went to Springville, so I know a little bit about how that program is kind of rising up over the years. My senior year, we went to the Ralph. That was the first time we went to the Ralph since 1997. We were 5-4. The following year didn't make the playoffs. Last year didn't make the playoffs, didn't even make the bowl games, but finished the season actually 6-2. It was crazy how B South was that year, where they couldn't even make a bowl game with only two losses. But this season, I think you're seeing Coach Shansey's program, all his terminology and all of his philosophies, run the
triple option.
Yeah, really take over. I mean, if you watch that NT team in the state championship, I mean, that was one of the best teams to come out of Western New York. And they weren't the biggest team, they weren't the fastest team, but they were well coached and they ran that offense better than anyone in the state. And I think you're seeing that Springville team kind of do the same thing. And I still think that's going to be a tough game against Depew. Depew is not a team I want to play in a 3-6 matchup. Springville is undefeated. In Class B, there are three undefeated teams at the top of that. So it's very strange for that to happen with three divisions. But I still think Springville is going to be favored, but they have a couple of athletes from Depew to worry about. Depew, I thought, played actually pretty well in their game against Lancaster. They definitely fought. They scored 21 points and kept the game sort of close for a little while. But Lancaster, obviously, is too good. But I think Springville's going to win that one, but I wouldn't doubt Depew giving them a good game.
With Depew, the only thing I can see is Depew's been there enough. Springville, those kids, Yancey knows how to get there and play, but the kids got to be there and play. You know, Springville's got a couple, that Ian Baker is a stud. And the quiet one on that team is that
Bryce Stewart. He's a small kid. He's like probably 5'6", 150 pounds. But he plays he's big and he runs hard and he's kind of that little weasel that he never wants to go down.
In the one game, he didn't score much, but he was in there and he made play after play after play and it just came out great. But, Springville, I think the only thing that would hurt Springville is the inexperience of being in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they would have had at least one game last year in the playoffs, it might help them. But I still think Springville wins the game.
And you're right. The inexperience from the team doesn't help them too much. But I'll tell you, having Eric Jansen, an experienced coach, definitely helps that team a lot.
All right. It looks like we have a special guest. We're having another Kenmore West player call in. It's running back Terrell Ford. We were just talking about him. Terrell, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing very well, man. It's what I was expecting to do this season, so that's what's going on.
Terrell, obviously, we talked to you about your record-breaking performance against East. Has it set in, or is it not something you've been focusing on this week?
It's not something I've been focused on this week. We have a big playoff game coming up Saturday, so that's been the main key of focus for me. I want to make sure that our guys are ready, and we have to do what we do Saturday.
And Terrell, it seems like you're carrying the ball, returning kicks, returning punts, playing defense, playing offense, from the running back position, from the slot position. What is it like just having so many different roles, and do you enjoy kind of being that guy who can do it all?
Oh, it's a great feeling, man. My teammates can rely on me on any position, my coach can put me anywhere and I can play all the positions. It's just it's got to be a great weapon for our coach to use, and I love being an asset to the team.
And we were just talking to D'Angelo Walker Johnson, and I kind of asked him, how much do you guys want to get to the Ralph this season? Because you have a great, talented team, one of the most talented teams we've seen at West in a long time. Just to get over that hump and get to the Ralph, how motivated are you guys to get to that Ralph this year?
Oh, we really want to go. We're really motivated. After last season, it slipped away from us against Orchard Park. We definitely don't want that feeling again. We have a team full of seniors, but we want to make sure that we make it to the Ralph this year.
Hey, Terrell, it's Dennis. You know, going back to what you just said, you have that bad taste in your mouth. You know, you got to take it one game at a time. But, you know, that makes it all the more that you really want to win that game because you were that close. You don't want to have that bad taste again.
Oh, no, not at all. That was a feeling that was terrible. We were right there. We were about 2 minutes away, and we gave it up. That's something so now we want to take it one game at a time. Not to rush anything, but take one step at a time and get ready.
And why is this team different than that team that lost to Orchard Park last year, or even lost to Orchard Park week one? What makes this group different now than then?
What's bigger difference about this group is that we have experience. We played 2 games in the playoffs. Most of the guys we had, that was their first year in varsity. We only had 2 players that returned. So everybody now has a whole varsity season under their belt, and they know what they expect in the playoffs.
All right. Terrell, I did notice while you're having a great year in the record-breaking performance, your stats have dipped a bit this year. Is that something that was by design, or is that something where teams have been focusing on you, or what do you think that is about?
Oh, teams have been mainly focusing on me, and as you can see, my teammates like D'Angelo Walker, he's been having a great season, and other players are stepping up, and that's helping. They can't just key in on me. So that's going to open up more for me and the rest of my teammates.
All right.
And looking at your first-round matchup, just what sticks out to you about Hutch Tack, what do you guys have to do just to get a win this week?
Oh, we just need to do what we've been doing since the Orchard Park game. They're not a bad team. So we're expected to win, but we can't just walk into the game expecting that we're going to win. We have to come and compete hard, and we've been practicing hard all week.
Terrell, this is talk about your defense, which has been doing pretty well this year despite that Orchard Park game. What is your defense about? You're one of the few teams that has their running back and their quarterback play on defense for most of the time. Talk about that defense.
Oh, we want to just sell out. We want to put everybody with our best players on the field, no matter if it's our quarterback, offensive lineman. We just want them on the field. And our biggest key is stopping the run. We're not so much worried about the pass. We don't want any teams to be able to run against us. Like Niagara Falls, they finished with negative yards rushing. But that's what we key on. We want to get to the quarterback, and we want to stop the run.
All right, Terrell, we appreciate having you on today, and we wish you luck on Saturday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, that was Terrell Ford, the running back from Kenmore West. He had the record-breaking performance. He has the school record for touchdowns for Kenmore West. For him, they'll be facing again Hutch Tech at home on Saturday. We're going to go back to our recap. We're going to Class C. If this upset is pulled off here, it would be the biggest upset, I think, ever, with Allegheny Limestone heading to Bennett. Is there any way the biggest upset in the world could be pulled off?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know even if you put, 11 guys in the box to try to stop that rushing attack, I'm not sure if anyone in Class C can do that. I think Bennett's going to roll in that one, like expected.
I don't think there's anybody in Class B that could stop.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, they'd be contending for a state championship in Class B. They'd be either the one or two team in the state in Class B. And they're in Class C. I mean, they are the overwhelming favorite in Class C and overwhelming favorite against Allegheny Limestone.
Yeah, I don't see anybody stopping Bennett. I mean, they're just so well-coached and they're a well-disciplined team. And they probably want to work more than anybody. And, they want to be the first Buffalo school to go up against Section 5.
And if Isaiah McDuffie, the running back, if he played 4 quarters every single week, I mean, he'd be well over 2,500 yards, I bet. It seems like he's ripping off 100-yard games in the first quarter. it's a good thing that they're not running up the score on anyone, keeping him in there for four quarters. But he's a sensational talent. I like to see him play four quarters once we get to, you know, either the Far West Regionals or maybe even the Section 6 Championship game against maybe Maple Grove or something like that. But I'd like to see him play four quarters for a game.
Well, not one yet. I think he's even better on defense.
Yeah, and that's where he's going to school for. I mean, he's going to play linebacker at Syracuse. So that kind of shows you how highly regarded he is on the defense side of the ball.
I've heard coaches say, I don't care what you do, just don't run at him.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from him.
Yeah.
All right, our next game in Class C is Lackawanna going to Gowanda in the matchup there. I'd say Gowanda has the lead in this, but this is going to be a pretty close game.
This is a game between two programs that are having two pretty good years. Gowanda hasn't been in the playoffs in a couple of years. I know Lackawanna hasn't. I mean, Lackawanna, I mean, as early as when Capone Smith was there, was a power. So they've definitely taken a little bit of a plunge the last few years. It seems like they're back winning some games. And when they played Bennett, both those teams are undefeated. Or no, pardon me, when they played Cleve Hill, both those teams are undefeated. And I think Lackawanna is a pretty good team, and so does Gowanda. So that should be interesting.
That's going to go back to another thing that Lackawanna's got the experience over Gowanda. I don't think Gowanda's ever been in the position where they've been in the playoffs and been in the next move. That's another one that Lackawanna can pull that one off because of the fact that they've known what it is, and they're a disciplined team again this year.
Mm-hmm. Next is Silver Creek Forester at Maple Grove. Maple Grove, obviously, the longtime powerhouse in Section 6 in both Class D and Class C. They've gone back and forth. Does Maple Grove have this in the bag?
I think so. I mean, I haven't seen Silver Creek, so I can't say too much about them. But I think Maple Grove definitely has the edge they have. When we talk about experience, they're a great longtime coach, a couple players that are coming back from that Section 6 championship team last year, so they definitely lost a lot from last year. They still have a lot of key pieces that should be able to win this game this weekend.
Yeah, I agree with them 100%. Maple Grove is just, talk about a well-coached team and a team that's, I don't remember the last time they weren't at the Ralph.
Yeah, I mean, it's only when Randolph and Maple Grove played each other in the regular season and somehow they had to play each other in the semis. I mean, every single year, Randolph, Maple Grove are going to the Ralph. And Maple Grove going to Class C, nothing's really changed.
All right, we're going to take a break from our recap again. We have Sean Brusso, an assistant coach for Springville football. Sean, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing great, Sean. Good to hear you on the line.
Springville, obviously they're heading to, they're in the playoffs this year. Great year. They're undefeated. Bryce Sajak, one of your best guys. I imagine there's a great excitement in that town of Springville over this football program.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 19 years since our program has won a championship, and it's our second year together as a staff, and we got a very good group of kids, and you know, they've worked very, very hard in the off season. Worked very hard the last 2 years to kind of, you know, change a culture and bring some different things into play here. And the town support has been outstanding. You know, everywhere you go out to lunch, you go to Walmart or something like that, and somebody will stop up and say, you know, hey, how's the team doing? Or good luck this week. And it's really just a great overall experience for the community and the kids, and definitely some memories that'll last them a lifetime.
Hey, Sean, it's Dave. Just looking at what Eric Jansey has done for the program, just talk about him briefly and how he has kind of built that program up. They were knocking on the doorstep a couple years ago, but it seems like Coach Jansey's arrival has kind of put you guys over the top. What has he done for the program?
Well, anyway, I just think he's brought a sense of routine and structure that the kids kind of buy into, and, you know, the kids are pretty comfortable with how things are. And you know, it was amazing. A couple weeks ago, we had won at Pioneer and secured the division title. And, you know, you went to the locker room after the game, and it was just like another victory. It was business as usual. And the kids take on the demeanor of their coach. And, you know, he's got such a calming influence. And, you know, the kids have such an amount of confidence in the scheme that we're running. And, you know, the attention to detail that he brings into everything that he does. I really think that's kind of, you know, jump-started everything. And, you know, again, with the kids buying in and working as hard as they do and buying into that sense of structure and organization, it's made such a big difference. And, you know, I really think you can attribute that. I mean, Jance is probably one of the most organized people I know. And, you know, I know how hard he works, and, you know, the kids kids feed into that. And, you know, I think they're starting to see their you know, efforts benefited a little bit.
And you talked about the wrapping up the division against Pioneer. That potentially could have been your second shutout in a row, but the game against Dunkirk, I hear that you coached a special teams unit, and you allowed a kickoff return for a touchdown. What happened there, Sean?
Well, do you want the Rex Ryan answer, or do you want the Sean Bruce answer? No, Dunkirk's a good team, and I'm going to tell you what, that's a team that can make some noise in the playoffs. I mean, they got Burgard, and, you know, I think that could be a little bit of a matchup problem for the Bulldogs, and they actually got two rows of Bulldogs potentially to go through, as they'd have to go to Alden. And if you remember last year, they beat Alden in the Chuck Funky Bowl championship, a game that was coincidentally down at Pioneer. So they're a very good team, and, you know, you have a breakdown in coverage and stuff like that. But, you know, that's, you know, things you could correct on watching on film and putting guys in a position to succeed, and hopefully it doesn't happen again. I think it'll be safe to say.
Hey, Sean, it's Dennis Farrell. You said that Coach Yancey is very organized and stuff. Are you learning how to become organized?
Oh. I think so. I mean, I think there's a, you know, I think maybe in my case a little bit, I'm a little too organized sometimes, where I've become disorganized because I'm, you know, so crazy about every little silly thing. But, you know, when you have a guy like that who, you know, and really for me and for the other guys on our staff, being younger coaches, you know, having that, you know, wise mind there all the time that, okay, I've been there, this isn't a big deal, or, you know, don't worry about this, or, okay, if it is a big deal, here's how we're going to take care of it. I think really that's the biggest thing that, you know, Coach Jancey has done for me personally, and I can probably speak for a lot of other coaches he's worked with, that, you know, he's been there and done that so much that and been at every level. And again, there was a three-year run where he was coaching, you know, a four-year run where three of those years he was coaching a team in the Carrier Dome. You know, so when that's a lot of football. That's a lot more football than I think I'll ever see in my lifetime. And, you know, to have a guy like that to be able to just kind of help you weather the storm, like I said, his demeanor is so even-keeled. And, you know, I think that's reflected well in our kids. And, you know, they stay focused. They're never too high. They're never too low. You know, things don't really faze them too much. And, you know, I think that's a testament to our head coach down there.
Oh, kidding aside. No, I just was trying to say is it – easy to learn from him because he's such a good coach. Is he to teach the younger coaches to get them to the next level? That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he likes to.
Did we lose him?
No, he's trying. Sean? John?
Me here?
You here?
Hello?
No. Sean?
Got me now? Yeah, Dave? Hello?
Yeah, must have lost you or something. But coming into this season, you're going to have to play without your starting quarterback from last season who graduated, Devin Whiteturns. First-team All-State last year. Sensational quarterback for you. But it seems like you guys haven't missed a beat. I mean, you're scoring almost just as many points as last year, if not more, and you haven't missed a beat. What's been key to that offense this year with a new starting quarterback?
I think having a second unit system, again, running the same thing on the season, so the kids know what they're allowed to call, they know what we call against certain things and what we look to exploit. And the thing that Devin had, you know, Devin has just such a freakish athletic ability to make plays, but our offense maybe isn't as explosive, you know, big plays and go to house anytime we touch it. But I think what we get with Colin DeWitt is we get just a sense of he understands everything that's going on around him. And it's really kind of a natural sense with him. He worked very, very hard in the offseason, you know, since February, you know, staying late after offseason workouts, go down to the, you know, office and watch film and
go on the whiteboard and learn audibles and when you check in and out of stuff and why. And even if,
you know, we were there till 7:30
last night, watching film, going over stuff on the board, going over our audibles. You know, and he's got such a command on everything that's going on, reads the offense so well, and, you know, he's been such an integral part to our success. But, you know, I mean, it's a full cohesive unit. I mean, we have four offensive linemen that are back from last year's team, and those guys are really gelled as a unit and haven't missed a beat. You know, they're very comfortable with each other. I mean, that's, when you think about it now, you know, four of those guys starting together for,
I mean, where are we at now?
You know, 16, 17 games together, you know, in this system, you know, and being able to play multiple positions. You know, where they would be doing a Josh Paul can play center, or Grayson Lyles can play center, or Pat Hannon can play center, or tackle, or guard, and know any of the positions, and all of them are interchangeable with each other. That's pretty special. And, you know, getting good support and good blocking with our backs and setting some things up from last year, I think, is really, really paid big dividends. And, you know, those guys are just executing at a very high level right now. And the other thing, too, that's a big difference is we, you know, knock on wood, but we've been pretty good at not turning football over there. And, and we only got two turnovers all season. You know, and that's pretty remarkable seeing as we run the triple option. You know, those guys do a good job of protecting the football. We haven't had any interceptions this year, knock on wood. You know, our pass protection has gotten a lot better. We've been able to open up the pass game a little bit. That's been a real big difference. And that's, you know, Colin DeWitt, who, you know, the exception of one game, you know, has been shooting around 75% accuracy all season. You know, and that's pretty darn good for, you know, for a quarterback.
Right now we seem to have a little bit of bad connection with you, but we appreciate you coming on today, Sean, and we wish you luck in your game tomorrow night.
Oh, definitely. We appreciate it, and I appreciate you guys for the good thing in the area.
All right. That was Coach Sean Brusso, assistant coach at Springville. We were having technical difficulties over the phone, but he gave some great insight on their team. Right now we're going to go back to the recap. We're going to finish up Class D on Friday night. Westfield Brockton heads to Randolph. The number two seed is the first seed, Franklinville, Elkinville, West Valley gets the bye. This Westfield Brockton team had to cancel their season mid-season last year, and they still haven't fully recovered. Do they have a chance this week?
I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, it seemed like the tragedy struck, you know, 2 years ago or a year ago, and it seems like they've won some games this year, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And Randolph, you know, it doesn't look like they're going to get that four-peat for a state championship, but they're still a pretty good team. They lost week one to Ellicottville, Franklinville, West Valley, but it seems like ever since they've been, you know, clicking from there. I think Randolph's going to be the favorite in that one.
I agree. Randolph's going to be, you know, a tough team to beat, even though they're missing a couple of starters, but they're still a good team.
All right. Our next game is Clymer Sherman Panama at Frewsburg. Frewsburg seems to be the favorite right now, as the home team is the third seed over the sixth seed. You guys have anything?
Well, Clymer, Sherman, Panama, it seems like they have three schools. All three of them are very small. That's why they're still, you know, in Class D. Hopefully one of these years they can knock on the door. I think they were in the double D game last year, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, going to Class D this year, maybe they can get a win against Frewsburg. But I think Frewsburg's the favorite right now in that one.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't think Clymer's been really that great since they lost some guy that's coaching Southwestern right now.
and the next game, you know, Portville and Cattaraugus Little Valley. Portville actually beat Ellicottville West Valley, who I think is the number one seed in Class D, and they have a bye this week. They beat them, so that can kind of tell you how good that team is as a five seed. So I think Portville could definitely, you know, beat the four seed in Cat Little Valley.
All right. Right now, we're going to take a break and thank our sponsors again. Daniel Beck, attorney at law. You can find his office at 3290 Genesee Street in Cheektowaga. You can take care of all your real estate or will needs, or estate planning needs, I should say. You can call him at 716-253-6500. We have All In Sports at 485 Cayuga Drive in Cheektowaga. You can call Jim Pernick. He's the head baseball instructor at 716 868-755-7551, and the Paul Wolf Agency at 2686 Elmwood Avenue, right in the corner of West Girard in the Village of Kenmore. You could call him for at 716-835-WOLF for all your auto, home, and commercial insuring needs. We're going to continue on in our previews of the game playoff games. We're going to go to Saturday now. We'll start in Class A. We just talked to two guys from the from Kenmore West. They host Hutch Tech, the last seed out of the South. Does Hutch Tech have a chance? I saw them early in the year, and their line really just couldn't hold up to an NT game in the scrimmage. I know you don't want to take a lot from the scrimmage, but they've had a lot of trouble this year.
Well, Hutch Tech's got some skilled players, but like I said, they don't have the line that can give those time, the skilled players the time to throw the ball or even run the ball. And like I said, Ken West, I think they're on a mission. Ken West is hopefully, I think the coaching staff's got them ready, you know, deal one game at a time, one quarter at a time. And I think Ken West should easily take that game.
Yeah, I agree. I think Kenmore West has too many athletes and enough linemen to get them through that game with no problems.
All right. Our next game is a rematch of a very fun Week 1 game, Jamestown at Niagara Falls. In Week 1, the Falls had Jamestown beaten in the third quarter, but Jamestown came back. This will be a fun rematch to watch. I would say Jamestown right now is the favorite in that game, as having already beaten the Falls, but where do you guys stand in that game?
Yes, I think you're right. I think Niagara Falls was that close to beating Jamestown. There was a blocked punt that Jamestown had in that game that really fired them up and helped them come back a lot. And this season, it's Jamestown's, you know, two-season-long win streak against Section 6 opponents, you know, was snapped with a loss to Lancaster, and they lost to Orchard Park, too, and Tymon. So you don't see too many Jamestown teams with three losses in the season, but still, I think that's a dangerous team because of the coach they have. They have a state championship-winning quarterback that's under center for them and a couple of really good athletes that have been around there for a couple of years. So I think Jamestown has the edge, but don't count out Falls because they have some big playability from a couple of guys on that team.
It's going to be if the Falls shows up with their A game, they could beat them.
Yeah.
All right. Going down to Class A, we have Hamburg. Well, in Class A, we had some discrepancies with the North. Will North and Star Point were both undefeated, but they never faced off. And it came down to point differential. I believe it was 7 points. Will North was able to win the division by. They get the one seed, and they host Hamburg.
Yeah, Williamsville North is a really good team this year. The Wang brothers are both tops in Western New York. Andrew Wang and Jason Wang, two really good guys, and I think they're going to definitely be the favorite in that one. They've won some pretty good games. They lost to Jamestown in a game that they possibly could have won, but after halftime, the tie definitely switched there in Jamestown's favor. But I think they're going to win that playoff game against Hamburg.
Well, we know the Rockets should win that game pretty easily.
Are they healthy? The Wang brothers, the quarterbacks?
They've been banged up all year. I think the one game was a shoulder injury, and the game against, I think, Sweet Home, it was a leg injury with one of them. They're twins, so sometimes I can't even tell them apart. But Jason's the quarterback, and Andrew's the running back, and they're both pretty good athletes for that team.
Well, they have pretty good backups, too. Early in the season, I thought of them as the Ohio State of Western New York. In a way, you know, you take out one guy, goes out, and all of a sudden it's Cardell Jones comes in, and you pick up right where he left off. So I think they should be able to handle Hamburg. Our second game, Will South, they had a tight game against Will North last week in that rivalry game. At 4-3, they head to South Park against Tyree Brown and Tim Delaney. Does Will South have a chance?
I haven't heard anything about the quarterback. I know he got hurt last week for Williamsville South, and I think he's the top quarterback statistically in Western New York right now, leading in touchdowns, and I think he's leading in yards, if not mistaken. So if he plays, that always gives them a shot to score some points. But South Park, I think they're definitely the favorite in Class A. They're one of the best in Western New York. I mean, you could probably go easily Canisius, Orchard Park, and then put South Park right after Orchard Park. they're that good. I don't think they're going to have a letdown in that one. They're just too well coached, and there's too many guys on that team with a lot of experience. Darryl Moore is a great receiver. You said Tyree Brown's a great athlete there at quarterback. So I think there's too many athletes, and that team's too well coached to lose that game.
I agree with them on that. And Louis South even got that. You know, they got Matt Foster as a receiver. I mean, you know, but they. I just think South Park's got too much more of a weapons on that team.
All right. We're going to bring on here our guest, Dylan Janka, the quarterback of Orchard Park. Dylan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dylan, Orchard Park has had a great season this year, coming back after Jamestown leading that division. You took it over. You beat Ken West the first week, and except for that Aquinas game, you guys have never looked back. Talk about this great team this year. This team that seems to overpower everybody.
Yeah, we're having a great year so far. We came in with a pretty confident mindset coming into the season. We worked hard all off season long, and we had a lot of returning players, which definitely helped us out having that experience. So, we're having a great year so far, and we're hoping to keep it going throughout the playoffs.
And you've been rolling most this year. You had the Pittsburgh game that you guys fell in against Section 5, but, I mean, how important was that game just to see, you know, the good test for you guys in the middle of the season instead of just rolling through all your competition? How important was that game for you guys just kind of see how good you guys were and what you guys had to work on the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think that was a great experience to be able to have that out-of-league game and potentially see an opponent we'll see again down the road and the type of team we'll play possibly out of Section 5 if we keep winning. But I think it was a great learning experience and, you know, we definitely wanted to get a win, but we were happy it didn't affect us. But like I said, the learning experience is, you know, what we thought was the good part that came out of it.
And what's so good about this Orchard Park team this year? A lot of guys back from last year, especially skill-wise. You're back. A bunch of other guys are back. What's so good about this team this year?
I feel like around as a whole, we're a great team. We work well together. You know, a lot of us have known each other our whole lives and have played Little League football since we were 7 years old together. So just having the chemistry that we have and, you know, we're all hard workers and we're not selfish and, you know, we're all willing to do whatever it takes to win. I think that's what helps us, you know, be the team that we are so far.
I think, don't you have one of the better defenses you've had in a long time, too?
Say that again?
Talk about that defense. It seems like a lot of teams can't score against you. You held Lancaster to the lowest margin of the season outside of the game against Ohio that they had. What's so good about this defense this year?
Yeah, we've been having a great defense. They've been doing a real good job stopping teams. We haven't given up a lot of yards at all. We've had a few games where we've let up less than 100 yards, and they're doing a great job of holding teams to low points, which definitely helps out our offense a lot. It's easy to win games when the other team doesn't score a lot of points. So they're doing a great job, and you know I'm real happy about their performance.
I'd say looking at your game this weekend, you have Clarence, a somewhat familiar foe who you've played in the past. Obviously, this year they move up to the North Division. What has your coaching staff told you about this Clarence team?
Yeah, we don't know as much about them as we usually do since, like you mentioned, we haven't played them this year. But they're a tough team. They're always a tough opponent. They always play us hard. And, you know, we know we're definitely going to have to come in and play a strong entire whole game, and we can't underestimate them or anything with them being the lower seed. But you know, we're coming in, we're confident, but we know that it's going to be a tough game and that we got to play hard.
I have to ask, before we let you go, Orchard Park has looked the strongest they are. You guys are probably the second best team in Western New York. Do you think this team has what it takes to go all the way?
Yeah, I definitely think we do. Like I've said, the number one thing about us is the chemistry that we have for how long we've played together and, you know, how we're all willing to never give up and do whatever it takes to win. And, you know, I have a ton of confidence in all of our players and, you know, everything we do. And I think that, you know, we're still getting better throughout the season. We're learning things and becoming closer as it keeps going. And we think we still have 6 more weeks to go to play in that state championship game.
All right, Dylan, we appreciate having you on. We wish you luck in your game tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
All right, that was Dylan Janka, the quarterback from Orchard Park. And Dave did correct me. It was Pittsford they faced. I had that in my notes, but those Rochester teams, I'm still confused about them. He's obviously, last year he took over as the quarterback as a sophomore. He threw for about almost 1,600 yards this year. He's a little bit down, but obviously that team is not that team is still on a roll this season with a little bit less in his passing yards. Our next game in the Saturday playoff games, Iroquois at Starpoint. They seem to surprise some people. I've noticed being at Ken Maurice that they've always had athletes. It's just a matter of them. Everybody gelling, everybody getting on the same page. This year they seem to be on the same page. Talk about the Starpoint team. That seems surprised anyone.
I've actually had a good look at Starpoint this season. I've never actually covered a game of them until this year, and I've seen them twice. In two games, they're definitely a great team to watch. They have a 3 running back monster in the backfield. They have 3 guys who can carry the ball, and both all 3 of those guys, Terry Rutland, Tajay Ahmad, and another running back, Robinson. All 3 of them are really good. It's nice because they're not always in the field at the same time, and that running attack is really, really good. So Iroquois is going to have their hands full. Iroquois coming into this season was, you know, a team that we all thought would definitely contend in Class A this year, and they are. But we thought they'd even be a little bit better than they were this year. They lost to Lakeshore, who's not a playoff team, and so that was a big loss for them. But they snuck into the playoffs, and you never know what they can do against Starpoint, but I think Starpoint's really good this year, undefeated, and they're going to win that one.
Like you said, they got the 3 running backs since them, and the 3 running backs shared a load. It's not like one guy gets a 5, one gets a 10, and one gets a 15. It's like 14, 14, 15, you know. It's hard to stop them.
Yeah, and Tajay Ahmad, I've seen him a bunch of times, and they're really, really good.
All right. We're going to finish up the Saturday playoff games for Section 6. Southwestern heads to Cleve Hill in the Class C matchup. Looks like Cleve Hill has the advantage in this one, I would say.
Yeah, I heard that their running back, Taylor, was banged up a little bit last week, so I'm sure if he plays, that offense will be just fine. But if he doesn't, I think that slows down that offense a lot. But I think that team is pretty well-rounded, and they should be okay in that game.
Yeah, Cleve Hill, even if he's banged up, you know, Coach Graham is one of probably the better coaches in the area, too. He'll have that team ready to go. I know Colford's first year coaching, you know, he's done a fine job, but, you know, I just don't see Southwestern being able to compete with them.
It gives Cleve Hill, you know, a different look, though, because Cleve Hill, I don't think, has played too many teams that throw the ball as much as Southwestern. Southwestern, they'll go back and shotgun and put 4 or 5 wide receivers out there, throw the ball around a little bit. The quarterback's pretty solid. Kind of surprised. I think a Colcrick team would be power run, but he's kind of fit in with the right personnel that he has, and they'll put 4 or 5 wide receivers in the field. That'll give Cleve Hill a different look than they're used to seeing. So we'll see what happens, how Cleve Hill handles that spread.
All right. We're going to go right now to our From the 300 blogger from Will South, Evan Manna. A lot of big things going on at Will South. We'll start with their volleyball team, which I believe is 12-0 and won the ECIC Division regular season championship. Evan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. We actually just finished up practice a few hours ago, and we're getting ready for our playoffs. We have 2 non-league games next week. 1 against Lockport on Tuesday, and then we go right back again on Wednesday, which is our senior night against Clarence. So those are just 2 games, just kind of prepping us for the playoffs, and then the following week, I think the first week of November, we start our playoffs. So we're just looking forward to that. Hopefully we can make a pretty good run and see what kind of stuff we can do.
Going for volleyball, we discussed the preview for Will South as this weekend against South Park. Any word on the quarterback, Jack Hoyt? Holyoke, I believe?
Yeah, Holyoke, he hurt his shoulder, his throwing shoulder, last week against Williamsville North. And I don't think it's looking too good right now. I mean, he's walking around school in a sling right now, so I'm not sure if he can even raise his hand or raise his arm above his head, so it's not looking good. So I believe that Josh Foster will get the start there, backup quarterback. He's a sophomore, so a little bit inexperienced, but, you know, he's an athletic kid. He's an athlete. He'll keep fighting. I think he gives the Billies a pretty good chance to win if he can make the throws and you know, really execute.
And that team's been banged up most of the year. I know going into the year, they had a lot of experience back on the offensive, defensive lines. They had Matt Foster coming back, and he hasn't disappointed at all. But how have the injuries really riddled that team this season? They're a playoff team, but still, I mean, they could be a lot better if they were 100% healthy.
Yeah, definitely. Injuries are a big part. I know in the very first action the team saw, their blue and white scrimmage, they lost senior Owen Malley, who has been out all year, and he's a four-year football player. He's been a big part of the program. I know that's been a big loss for them. And, yeah, injuries have just held them back. So, you know, it's just unfortunate to see, but it's just part of the game.
Evan, I'm sure, are we going to be able to get you there tomorrow at All High against South Park?
I do not believe so.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. So, okay. With Jack out, it looks like this Will South team is going to have to rely on their running game. Do you think that offensive line could somehow pull this off?
I think they can. I know they've been needing some bodies on both the lines, the offensive and defensive. So I know senior Jake Fusak, who is a commit to UB. Hopefully he can rally his guys and really try to open up some holes for the senior running back, Justin Moon. Yeah, hopefully they can get some success in that area and really tear up South Park's secondary and just really attack and hopefully get some early touchdowns. And I know the defensive side will do what they need to do, but we just got to hope this offense produces with the sophomore quarterback in there, and we'll see what they can do.
All right, Evan, we appreciate you having you on today, and we'll see you soon.
All right, thank you.
All right, that was our blogger, Evan Manna. He's at Williamsville South and covers a lot of their sports. We hope to get him covering some more stuff as the year goes on. Right now, we're going to go to Montcedar Martin. They are still in their regular season. Timon at Canisius is our first game we're going to talk about. Canisius, believe it or not, has now lost the defending state Catholic champions. I believe they're on almost a 20-game win streak. They lose if they lose to Aquinas this past weekend pretty badly, actually. This caught me off guard myself. Did this catch either of you guys off guard?
I think the margin of defeat definitely shocked me a little bit, but they're playing without their starting quarterback right now, and it seems like it's hindering them a little bit and hindering them against Joe's. I think they're a lot better team than St. Joe's is, and that game, they won, I think, by 20 points, but I think if they had that quarterback, they would have won by even more because they've been rolling throughout the year. They beat a team from, I think, New Jersey.
Yeah.
New Jersey, this team had eight or nine Division I players in Canisius. If you look at it right now, they might have one or two. They don't have the top-end talent like that, but on both sides of the ball, they're well-coached. They have solid players everywhere, and that program's really strong when they're reloading year in, year out. So last week's game definitely shocked me a little bit, but I wouldn't, I would definitely keep your eyes on that team because I think this weekend I got Timon. They're going to give Timon a really good game, and I think Timon is the same thing. I think you can't really pick a favorite in this one because Canisius, while they have won the last couple of years, this Timon team is probably the best team they've had, since Adam DeMillo and Ryan Doherty were there, which was 3 or 4 years ago. So I think that this is going to be a really good game on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree that, Matt Myers for Timon is You know, he's a friend, but he's one great quarterback and a great leader for that team. He does a great job for retirement. And like you say, with Kenichi, with the St. Joe's game, didn't St. Joe's turn the ball over like the first three times inside the
Yeah.
zone, and there's your 20 points.
Yeah, exactly. And they really gave them a lot of points early in that game, playing without the starting quarterback. But still, you know, if you want to continue to win the Mount Senior Martin, you have to answer the call when you don't have the quarterback.
Yeah.
We'll see this week. I'm not sure if he's playing or not. But if he does, I would expect, I would probably pick Canisius to win that one. But Tymon, I mean, they're right there. That game really, it's really a pick 'em game, and it's toss it up, you know.
I think it's the best game of the weekend.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, which is surprising for the first week of playoffs. But I think you're seeing a lot of teams in Section 6 in the first round of the playoffs. There's a lot of mismatched games.
Yeah, that'll be definitely is one of the best games of the week. That'll be 1 o'clock at the Stancy Complex. As it looks right now, here in Western New York, the weather for Saturday is 63 with rain. There's about a 70% chance, so we'll see if that has any effect on these playoff games or the Monsignor Martin. Our last game we're going to do for you today is St. Joe's heading to St. Francis tomorrow night. Joe's having another off year. Mike McCarthy's back, kind of helped them, but they're not doing as well. And then the St. Francis team that has seemingly fallen off the rails since beginning their season with the win over Will South.
St. Francis likes to snap the ball on offense like every 15 seconds that falls. I mean,
the Oregon.
They do. Their offense is tough. They got a nice young quarterback.
Jerry Hickson.
No, he's only, I think,
He's a junior now. He started as a freshman.
Yeah.
I'm losing track of how long it's been.
He runs that offense. They got a couple of good receivers, but I mean their defense is
atrocious.
Swiss cheese. It's just tough. But I mean, Joe's, McCarthy's healthy, but is he shell shocked because he's been hit so many times and injured so much? You gotta wonder sometimes.
I think St. Francis' offense is one of the best in Western New York. When you put that defense on the field, you need some turnovers. I'm not sure if it's size, up front. I know talking to Jerry Smith earlier in the season, he said his starting center, this is his first year playing football. So that goes to show just that program is how they don't have too many big bodies. A couple of years ago, when Akeel Lynch was there, I mean, that team was loaded with linemen and physical players. And this season, it seems like they're a little bit smaller.
That defense gave up, I couldn't believe it, 41 points at St. Mary's of Lancaster. I was just shocked.
What, 62 or 64 against Canisius?
Yeah, that was a
35-35
game at
half. Yeah. talk about Canisius again not being the same team they were. Obviously, Canisius lost a lot of talent. T.J. Wheatley, the quarterback, which I cannot think of who he was.
Jacob Laux. And then Brad Zafran.
Mitch Thomas.
Yeah, Mitch
Zafran.
A lot of talent they lost.
So the new guys are still picking up, are trying to pick up where they left off. Right now we have our next guest, which the head coach of the Kenmore East Boys soccer team, Rolf Friedenberg. Coach, how are you doing tonight?
Great. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Good.
Last night, this season has kind of been somewhat under expectations. Started off with the two losses against Wheatfield Grand Island. Then you hit a great stride in the middle of the season and then fell off towards the end. What did you take away from your regular season?
Well, I mean, I think we were playing really well, towards the middle of the season. And, it showed me that we definitely had talent. We definitely had guys that could play a system and perform on the field. But I think one of the things that we ran into was injuries. And, we started to overcome those injuries toward the end here. So I think that what I'm taking from it right now is that, we do have players that can overcome, this adversity and these injuries. So I'm looking forward to really giving it a run here against Star Point tomorrow.
Okay. Your last two games I was at, the win over West and the win over Loopport, been really defensive games down to the end, 1-0 both. Is that the style of play you think your team is going to have to play in order to move advance in these playoffs here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, throughout the season, we've given up a lot of goals to a lot of good teams. And so we decided that we needed to become, I think, a little bit more defensive, especially, you know, we lost Finesse Henry, you know, for he was out for about 3.5 weeks. He was our leading goal scorer at the time. So we lost him for about 3.5 weeks, and he just came back this past week. And he was probably only like 75%, you know, out of the field. So we had to kind of change his role a little bit and still make him effective. And he was the one that actually assisted on the goal against Ken West, you know, even still only being at 75%. But, you know, we lost him, I think, for the season yesterday. He re-injured his knee. So I think because of that loss, we definitely, you know, today in practice, we were very defensive, you know, in terms of our style and our formation. And, you know, hopefully tomorrow we can execute, you know, offensively and just be very disciplined defensively, you know, to be able to beat a very good Star Point team.
All right. Coach, next tomorrow night is your game, 3:30 tomorrow afternoon against the Star Point team, the number one team in your bracket. Why is the Star Point team so good in your eyes?
You know, when I went, I had a chance to go and watch them, you know, a few weeks ago, and I also saw them at the beginning of the year, and I'm actually kind of familiar with a few of the players, you know, just from playing in different clubs and stuff, even when they were younger. And they have an all-around solid team. You know, they got a couple of, you know, guys that I guess you would say are star players, but, you know, beyond that, they have so many role players. You know, they have, you know, very good depth on the field, guys that have, you know, really good soccer knowledge, you know, so they play really well as a team, you know, and I mean, I think that's what, you know, that's what has allowed them to be so successful this year, you know, and go undefeated in their league. I think they've only given up like 6 or 7 goals this whole year, you know, so they're just very solid all the way around.
All right. So, Coach, we appreciate you having you on. Again, your game is tomorrow, 3:30 against Star Point. That's going to be at the Turf in Niagara Falls. Coach, we appreciate you having you on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. I really had fun. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. And that was Head Coach Rolf Friedenberg of the Kenmore East Boys soccer team. Right now, we're going to bring on Pat Beltry from St. Joe's. He's our From the 300 Level blogger there. Pat, how are things going over in Kenmore?
Things are going good, Francis. How are you?
Good. Obviously, we just talked about St. Joe's going up against St. Francis tomorrow night. Joe's still kind of having an off year. McCarthy coming back. He's had some success. How has he taken on now? He's had a few games in. Going under center, how has he been?
Well, Mike has played fairly well so far this season. For far this year, the offensive line of St. Joe's has struggled quite a bit, though. So he has had issues with protection so far and has been sacked quite a bit. Actually, because of that, he is sitting out, as far as I'm aware of, tomorrow. And junior quarterback Jalen Nelson will be taking over for him tomorrow, which is obviously a big loss for St. Joe's. They've had a lot of injuries so far this season, especially on defense, but this is their first big offensive injury. Also, offensive lineman David Lauer, the center, broke his leg last week in a game versus time in just a freak accident, broke his leg on a play, and he's probably one of the hardest working guys on that team. So injuries are really killing St. Joe's right now.
All right, moving on from football, Joe Soccer has been doing well. Can you give us a little update on how their season is progressing?
So, yes, the playoffs start tomorrow for St. Joe's. They won the Monsignor Martin League, making them the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They face Nichols tomorrow at St. Joe's at 3 o'clock. I'm going to be looking to see guys like Max MacArthur, Philip Grande, and Spencer Frome. I feel like those guys will have a good game tomorrow, and they're probably going to be key contributors on the field, just to name a few guys.
All right. Pat, we appreciate you having you on. We have a few guests coming up, so we're going to let you go, but we thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Right now, we're going to bring in we have a few people on, but right now we're going to bring in the running back from Lancaster, Zach Zamborski. Zach, how are you doing tonight? Oh. All right, now you're on, Zach. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, how are you doing? Thanks for having me.
All right. Zach, obviously, I know you guys got a lot of attention for this over the spring. It feels like you guys, this might be a drum beating the drum here, but how has your team responded to the new being called the Legends now?
Responding very well. I mean, it's new, everything's new, but we're still playing, you know, the same game, playing it together, and we're working really well.
This Lancaster team has a lot of weapons. You know, Dan Spire, it seems like he's surrounded by a lot of really good players. You, yourself and LG Castillo, there's a couple other names out there, too. How talented offensively is this Lancaster team this year?
I think it's got the most talent it's had in a long time, farther back than I can remember. And it definitely starts with the offensive line, though. I got to give them a lot of credit for getting the push all the time.
And just your year so far, you had a huge game against Kymen. What's been working well for you this year, and why have you been able to have such a good season? I think over 1,000 yards for the season. Just how have you been so good this year?
Just like I just said, the offensive line blocking this year has been great for sure. And it seems every time I bounce to the outside, it's great perimeter blocking too.
You keep talking about the offensive line, but, you know, you also throw the ball well, too. You got a nice quarterback back there and a couple of nice receivers. You know, to do both is tough. So that offensive line is doing a great job for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Dan's got a lot of time to throw. We got great receivers. I mean, Dan's got a great arm, no doubt.
And your first round matchup against Lockport, just what do you see in that team? A couple of good running backs they have over there. I've seen them a little bit. Just what do you think about that team? Just maybe watching them on film. What are you guys looking to face tomorrow?
Yeah, they're a good team for sure. defensively, we're definitely going to contain those running backs. They have some quick players. I know defense will do their job, and I'm sure our offense will do ours.
And you lost to Orchard Park 2 weeks ago. Just how much do you guys want to get back possibly at them and win a sectional title? Just how much do you guys want to win a sectional title this year?
We're pretty confident, but you know, we have to take the step one step at a time, and our first step towards facing them again is Lockport tomorrow.
Good answer.
All right, Zach, we appreciate you coming on today, and we wish you luck in your game tomorrow against Lockport. It's a 7:30 start, I believe.
Thank you very much.
All right. That is Zach Zambrowski from running back from Lancaster. Now we're going to bring on from North Tonawanda. He's been on hold for a while, so we're going to bring him in. Joe Krause, the professor, how are things going at the Lumberyard?
Well, good evening, guys. Special thank you guys for bringing me on. So I know you guys have had a packed show. Real quick, to the Kenny's listeners, congrats on their successful soccer season. Francis, I know it's probably very exciting for you because that's your school, your Bulldog pride. And also congrats to Phineas Henry for his announcement going to be moving on to Lake Erie. So congrats to those guys, first of all. For North Tonawanda, like I told Frank on the Saturday show, you know, big TNT win, 53-30 win, 15th straight year against the Warriors. But now this is going to be the test of how far, not just this team, but this program compared to where the program was a year ago. Rematch of last year's playoff game, for those that know, against Westlake East, their big guy, John Dolak III, is back once again in the backfield, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than what everybody is predicting because, I mean, on paper, a lot of people around Western New York are just saying, oh, it's going to be a blowout like last year. But when Henry Fumarelli took over, and I've said this before, when Henry Fumarelli took over the program back in March, his main, the foundation of what he's built this program on is the weight room. And they have a saying, it's all about the fourth, meaning the fourth quarter. And, you know, at times last year, it seemed that they were tired by the end of the second half, but this year, they're not exhausted at all. They're still there from snap one to the last snap of the game, and it's because of that great conditioning that coaches preach to the guys. The guys, a couple of guys to watch out for NT, Friday night again, 7 p.m. kickoff at WestSec East, and they have an amazing program there. But for NT, I'm going to go with Chris Labonte, an offensive end. He took over from Coach Scores and banged up all season since week two. We don't really know what he's going to play tomorrow. Not sure how much of an impact he's going to have. He could explode at any time, though. I'm not going to rule that out. But Chris Labonte, when he took over at week five in Niagara Wheatfield, recorded his first 100-yard game. Then at start point, had another decent game. I believe he led the team in rushing once again. Then last Friday in TNT, 17 carries for 93 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and also had a receiving touchdown from Zach Woodard, who arguably had, in my opinion, the best game of the season for him. The 79 passing, 159 yards, 2 touchdowns, just an amazing game. I think his hip is going to be okay. But Coach now has, it's going to be interesting how NT is going to do this, because they now have a 3-man attack in the running game. You got Joe Dyerwich, who had 139 yards last week. You also have Chris Labonte, Cody Sikora, and Connor Groff can plug in there as well. So it'll be interesting to see how the running game goes. The offensive line is going to have their best game of the year if they're going to get a victory. And Coach also preached about that offensive line with Bailey Ferdusiak, David Eichhorst, Hayden Holmes, seniors most hopefully, and even Javon Nolley at the tight end. So they've stressed the running game. And on the defensive side, Bobby Brower, he is obviously a huge loss, and it showed at times during the TNT game and also the rest of the start point game. But Bobby Brower, the heart and soul of the team, he's going to be very missed. But I've expected Marshall Lutz-May. I expected him to have a big game last week, and he did. Won the team with 9 tackles. So, you know, the professor finally got a prediction right. I'm around 500 for my career. But Marshall Lutz-May, I truly expect him to be the big impact, and also a couple of the defensive linemen. When you got Austin Tolbert and Alex Johnson just going loose like a bulldog. I mean, you know, we're lumberjacks, but you know what I'm trying to say. But if those guys, when they let loose on the quarterback, it's going to be crazy. If they can prevent John Dolak from having a big day like he's had in the past, I think NT is right there with them. And, you know, but, you know, football is a funny game, as the great NT Hall of Famer Frank Pallotta said at the Spaghettiators since the first one. Football is a funny game. It can go either way, but nothing like Western New York High School football.
One of the big standouts for NT sports this year are the Lady Jack soccer. You've talked about them. Give us a quick update on how their season is progressing.
Well, actually, their season sadly came to an end tonight. 4-0 loss to Pioneer in the Class A quarterfinals, ending the career of Steve Sabo, their coach, ending a great run, 17-year run, all-time winning, most wins in program history. Basically, he built the program from the bottom up. He said, and he just mentioned this in our last interview back on Tuesday night, the year before, they had, I believe, 1 win, and then when he took over, they just went off. Just an unbelievable run, because nowadays with teachers getting laid off and just how much time coaches have to commit to a program, it's hard to have stability in those type of sports like soccer and volleyball. Even harder than football is the hardest, but even those secondary sports. But honestly, if they want to keep the momentum going, I think Lindsay Hojanowski is the top bet to take over next year. But it's not my call. I would give it to her, though, just to keep the momentum going because the players trust her. But looking at the player standpoint, I mean, Allie Smythe, if she doesn't get all Western New York honors, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, I'm a pro guy, but looking at the stats, she is the one of the best, not just goaltenders, but players in all of Western New York. 34 career shutouts, school record. She broke the previous record, by the way, guys, was 8, and she broke that in her freshman year. That's just how much she's dominated the sport over the past 2 years. And also to Gina Malone, a hat to her. Just, you know, she battled a very severe ankle injury a couple weeks ago, also had a concussion earlier this season. She was able to come back, score the game winner on Tuesday night against her player, final game of the Lumberyard. And I know a 4-0 loss, Pioneer, they're one of the top teams every single year in the 7-1-6. But just an unbelievable run from Steve Sable, and I wish him the best as he's now focusing on being a dad, watching his kids begin their high school careers. So just an unbelievable run from those ladies.
All right, Joe, our show is heading towards the end, so we're going to let you go. We appreciate having you on. Tomorrow, again, it's West Seneca East, or it's going to be North Tonawanda at West Seneca East.
Thank you very much. Take care. Have a good night.
See you, Joe.
All right. Right now, before we end the show, I would like to thank our sponsors again. Daniel Beck, attorney at law. You can go to him for your estate planning and will making needs. His office is at 3290 Genesee Street in Cheektowaga. Reach him at 716-253-6500. Also, we have All In Sports at 485 Cayuga Drive in Cheektowaga. You can reach Jim Pernick, the head baseball instructor, at 716-868-7551. Also, the Paul Wolf Agency, 2686 Elmwood Avenue in Kenmore, for all your auto, home, and commercial insurance needs, 716-835-WOLF. You can reach him. That does about it for our show. I would say the most interesting games, looking at the board here for this weekend, would probably be the NT West Seneca East, which we talked about, and the Jamestown Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe put the Burgard, Dunkirk game in there, a couple others that are sort of close, a couple others that we really don't know about, like Black Oak and stuff. But yeah, definitely some great games this weekend, but probably even more next weekend once those, you know, top seeds, you know, face the other top seeds in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely next weekend there will be some great games. Dennis, appreciate having me here on, too.
How far can Ken West go?
I think they can make it to the stadium. I really do. And I think that they got the capabilities of winning there, too.
But who do you say, who's going to come out of Class A?
Well, it's going to be, I think it'll be between Kenmore West and Orchard Park in the double A's and your A's. That's going to be tough. It really is. It's going to be tough because the A's we're really close.
And I think South Park's definitely the top team in A. But it's how it always is. There's like 4 or 5 teams in A who are solid. I mean, it happened last year. You know, with South Park, Sweet Home, West Seneca East was good. I mean, it's the same thing this year. Oh, well, the A's are just really, really solid.
I have to say, I'm going back to Ken West. If they win this round, they would, and Lancaster wins, the two of them would go off. The two, obviously, the rematch of last year's first round game, where Ken West came out, slaughtered them over at Crosby Field. So, certainly a team Kenmore West could beat. We're going to end our show right about here. Thanks, Dave DeLuca from Buffalo News. You can find him at @ByDaveDeLuca on Twitter. And then we have Dennis Sorrow from the Connolly Cup, the chairman. You can find him at Twitter at @BigDaddyKW. Guys, we thanks for coming on today, and we thank you all for listening.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.